Insulin prices have been discussed a lot lately, particularly in the United States. This much-needed spotlight on price and how it affects access to insulin is long overdue, especially considering that an estimated 100 million people, including all people living with type 1 diabetes and many with type 2, rely on insulin to manage their condition every day. Despite the fact that insulin has been used for over 90 years to treat diabetes, globally over half of those in need don't have access. Without insulin, people with type 1 diabetes will die, and many others will face serious complications. The global barriers to access to insulin is exactly what the ACCESS study, led by Marg Ewan at Health Action International, David Baran from University of Geneva, and Richard Lang from Boston University School of Public Health, have been trying to get to the bottom of. The three-year study has identified many of the key factors that affect insulin access around the world. Focusing on low and middle income countries, they have found that the issues of insulin prices and access don't stop at the US border. Marg Ewan says what's often forgotten are the global issues of affordability.
There is an increasing amount of talk about insulin prices, but that's mostly in the US. It's understandable because prices of insulin are extremely high in the US. A study in Boston recently found that long-acting insulin is around $300 for 10 mils, which is roughly a month's treatment. But even human insulin was over around $100 for 10 mils supply. But what we find, though, is while there is talk about the problem in the US, there's little attention being paid to the price and affordability and availability of insulin in low and middle income countries.
Ewan says that when insulin users in low and middle income countries have to go to the private sector to get their insulin, it is almost always unaffordable. This means that a month's treatment costs the lowest unskilled government worker more than one day's wage.
Now, if it's unavailable in the public sector, they're forced to private pharmacies and other sectors to buy their insulin. In Ghana, in private retail pharmacies, the price is $18 for 10 mils. That's 9 days' salary. So you'd have to work 9 days to be able to afford it, and that's clearly unaffordable.
In Ghana, insulin users only need to go to the private sector to purchase insulin if it is not available from the government. But in the public sector, mixed human insulin can still cost $8 or 4.5 days' wages per month. From this example, it is clear that in Ghana, as in many other countries, governments don't always get the lowest prices for insulin. In addition, these prices can be highly variable across countries.
In Ghana, the government is paying about $8 for 10 mils of 100 units per mil insulin. That same type of insulin, we've seen a variation between $2 in some countries to up to about $23 or so in others. So wide price variations for the price paid by the government across these countries.
Based on the findings to date, the researchers, including Richard Lang, say that governments need to do more for their citizens who need insulin.
The first thing governments need to do is make an absolute commitment to ensure that insulin is available to all who need it. Because, of course, if it's not available, people die. And that is something governments need to do firstly. Once they've made that commitment, then the mechanisms for procuring and supplying and distributing the medicines come into play.
The market domination of three pharmaceutical companies in the field of insulin, known as the Big Three, can also influence access to affordable insulin. Without competition, insulin prices remain high, higher, in fact, than other non-communicable disease medicines.
Well, the big three producers of insulin are Novo Nordisk, Eli Lilly and Company, and Sanofi.
Hans Horgazeel, professor of global health at Groningen University in the Netherlands, discusses the big three and their impact on the market.
Difficult to estimate how much exactly of the market they have, either in volume or value, but it's more than 90% and probably more than 95% of the world market divided between the three of them. When you have so few competitors, the competition really normally doesn't work. So even in a normal competition, three is too little. You would like to have 5 or 8 or 10. From a public health point of view, specifically interested in cheap, good quality, generic human insulin, generic or biosimilar human insulin, that's the cheapest way forward for many people. So we are actually interested in getting more large volume human insulin producers on the market.
Christoph Perrin, a pharmacist and consultant for the ACCESS study, tells us that many smaller companies are already producing biosimilar or generic forms of insulin, a product that, if made more widely available and accepted by doctors and insulin users, could help bring prices down.
So when looking at the international pharmaceutical market, how many companies are producing today biosimilar insulins? There are up to 10 of them that are fully independent. And independency for these companies means actually that they are able to control the production chain from the crystals till the final formulations, producing vials, cartridges, and prefilled pen.
Increasing access to insulin won't be easy, but the ACCESS study has identified some key areas to focus interventions to affect change. To learn more about these and to see other videos that discuss the barriers to insulin access, from markups on insulin prices to the struggles faced by insulin users, please visit the ACCESS study webpage or the Health Action International's YouTube channel.